This is a special edition of The Bill Good Show, preparing for an emergency. Now, here's your host, Bill Good.
Yeah. Talking about emergency preparedness today, focused on potential terrorist activity or response. But really, so much of what we're talking about is just emergency preparedness, and it may be or it may not be that the emergency is a terrorist act. It may be an earthquake. It could be a fire. There are many things it could be in some parts of the country. It could be an ice storm, in other places an unexpected snowstorm. But you have to be prepared as communities and individuals. My guests, Gordon Redmond, Bachelor of Science in Emergency Administration and Disaster Planning. His company is Emergency Management Planning Group. Brian Hay, Chair of the Advisory Board at the McKenzie Institute, and Wesley Wark, Professor of International Relations, Monk Center for International Studies at the University of Toronto. Rene, hi.
Hi there. I just wanted to point out that there is a huge difference between a chemical-type attack on a transportation system versus an earthquake or a power outage. Both agencies, cities, governments all have to prepare for both of those, but the money allocated towards a true terrorist response is going to be a lot more and is going to require a lot more time and manpower and training issues to respond to, say, a chemical agent attack like we had in Tokyo, Japan a couple years ago.
Sure, I don't think anybody would really disagree with that. Gordon Redmond?
Yeah, Rene, I would really agree with you 100%, and that brings me to another point about training. When we look at these different terrorist threats that do impact us, it's the citizens and ultimately the first responders who are going to be the frontline responders or frontline people who are impacted by these events. And so if we send
firefighters
like the firefighters in New York, and if we send them out into an environment that is potentially very dangerous with only t-shirts on, it's really not going to be that helpful or that effective. So we really have to spend the money to prepare and develop really, really professional first-rate response systems that are professionally handled and controlled, so that when there are a number of timed events where bombs are going off every 5 minutes or 2 minute intervals at different key critical points, that the responders are not all running to one and then get caught in that, and we got to have that sort of awareness come to the responder level.
Paul, good morning.
Good morning. Very good topic. Thanks very much, Bill, for having this on. Your guests are dead on the money on many scores, whether you're talking earthquakes or tsunamis or whether you're talking terrorism attacks. I recently published a book called Canada Under Attack that's on the Internet. It went out in November, and it's free for charge for downloading. And it's received very high praise from very senior people within the Canadian military family. And the issues that I dealt with were lack of resources, whether you're talking manpower for the military, whether you're talking equipment. As an example, on September 11th, they had what they suspected could have been a hijacking of a South Korean aircraft that was flying through Yukon airspace. We had no aircraft to intercept. And since then, the number of operational aircraft with the Canadian forces has actually been reduced. So you could literally have a situation where and time is so much of the essence here, where you could have aircraft coming out of Cold Lake, Alberta, on the Alberta-Saskatchewan border area, totally incapable of making an intercept of, let's say, an aircraft hijacked out of Kelowna that's looking to pile drive into the building that CKNW's in. The United States, also during a major earthquake, is going to have all its resources trying to help its people in Seattle, Portland, etc., because the earthquake, besides the earthquake like the 1964 Prince William Sound earthquake, affected an area over 100,000 square kilometers.
Well, Paul, I'm running out of time. I'm not wanting to cut you short, but I'm going to have to. Professor Wark, any comment to what Paul has said before we have to break?
Well, I mean, I think, again, the best hope we have is that you don't find yourself in a situation where you have to scramble fighter planes to chase down a hijacked airliner. I mean, what we saw on September 11th was that The American military simply wasn't capable of doing that, and it's perhaps questionable whether they would be capable of doing it even today. I think there are increased resources being put into air patrols and that kind of thing these days, and as you said at the opening of the show, Bill, we've taken lots of measures to try and prevent, to slam the door on that particular barn to prevent a repeat of September 11th style hijackings. But
at least we're awake to the possibility, and Gordon Redmond, I think much of what happened on 9/11 happened or got as far as it did because nobody could comprehend what was happening in the beginning. Nobody had really thought that four airplanes could be taken or would be taken at a given time and flown into buildings or, in one case, into the ground. It seemed incomprehensible.
Yeah, it definitely caught the systems, in their most vulnerable state. Part of the benefits from that, and it's just an evolution of our society. We see an event, we prepare. We see a flood, we prepare, and it's sort of a slow evolution. And the benefits to it is that it meant that we have a lot more crime and organized crime that are starting to get detected and brought forward because of the increased police presence. And I had an experience personally when I went through Colorado, where there was a gentleman with a bulldozer that he had it armed up with weapons, and he drove through a town, bulldozed the whole town, and all the local law enforcement couldn't stop this vehicle. And it took him a whole morning or afternoon in Granby, Colorado, back in 2004, and they could not stop this event. And his law enforcement had no capacity to stop this particular terrorist event. And unfortunately, they had to call in the military, but it was really challenging for local officials in order to respond to something which they never really expected.
I ran out the clock, as they say in hockey. I've just really got time to thank Wesley Wark, Professor of International Relations at Monk Center for International Studies at the University of Toronto, Brian Hay, Chair of the Advisory Board of the McKenzie Institute, and Gordon Redmond, Emergency Administration and Disaster Planning Consultant in studio today. Brian, thank you. Wesley, thank you. Gordon, a final word from you. We've got about 40 seconds left. Biggest issue as far as you're concerned, we've agreed that everybody has to be sort of on side in terms of preparedness. But what do you most want to see happen in the next year or two?
I think if we would adopt formal standards for all emergency management, then we could Xerox it and send it to every municipality in the province, and we could all start working on a common song sheet. I think that would be very helpful.
Okay, again, my thanks to all my guests for this. We are going to continue our programming over the next few days. I'm Bill Good. Thank you for listening today on the Chorus Radio Network.